Well, good morning, Derby City Church. Greetings from the Costa del Western Supermare. Always an absolute joy and pleasure to speak to what is, to me, one of the most influential churches, certainly in my life. And I have great and fond memories, clearly, of Derby and also of my old mate, David Ayling. I know we've had lots of memorial services, but I know that David was a special guy, and just want to send greetings, obviously, to Jew, Ben and Tom as well. Dave had a profound effect on my life, just as he did on all of your lives. And I've known Dave since I was 19 years old. And in many ways, we grew together at Bible College. We met there. He was the posh kid from Cheltenham. I was not. I'm from Sheffield. So there was a clash of the North and South immediately. And it was great, and we had some fun times. Clearly, I don't have time, and my purpose this morning is not to talk about my experiences with Dave. We travelled a lot, though, America, Germany, and obviously Jew and the boys will remember coming to Nepal, where we had an amazing time. I just want to say one thing about Dave, one of my most vivid moments. I just preached at Cardiff City Temple, which was one of Elim's flagships at that point. And I remember using during my sermon this incredibly gifted speaker. I kept quoting him, and he was so profound. And so I stood at the front of Cardiff City Temple, and I was preaching and using this using these quotes from this really, really influential fella. It was only when I got back to Bible College and I was chatting with Dave, and I said, "Do you know this guy? He is absolutely amazing. He must be a French theologian." And he said to me, what are you talking about?" I says, "Well, this French theologian, he appears all the way through the quotation books. He says his name's Anon." And he looked at me with a little bit of disbelief. He says, "You mean Anon as in anonymous?" I went, "Oh, yeah." He says, "Tell me that you didn't stand up in front of Cardiff City Temple, the flagship of Elim, and say the famous French theologian Anon said." And I said, "Oh, yeah, not once, but many times." And I always remember his response. He looked at me and said, "You stupid idiot." It was then I knew that Dave would always have an indelible mark upon my life, always telling me the truth about what I said or what I thought. And but I'll always carry that moment, that look of disbelief upon his face. I love Dave. He was my mate, and he was my best man at my wedding. And in many ways, he's always in here with regards to his influence. And I know he's greatly missed. And you know, lots of things I could say, but just want to say he was such a great bloke. And I miss him greatly. But today, I've been given the task by the regional superintendent, Paulerton, to talk about the light. And it seems really quite amazing that we can talk about light even when we go through the challenges of life. And as a church, you've gone through a challenging time, and it's difficult. But we hold true to the wonderful fact that even in the midst of the valleys that we go through, God holds that lantern, and we can follow through that path of light because he is the light. And I know that over the last few weeks, you've been looking at this great subject of Jesus being the I Am. And anyone who's gone before me, I'm sure, must have already talked about the fact that the I Am was one of the names of God. And even Jesus using that term was provocative to the religious people. Provocative to people who were a little bit more kind of, I don't know, you know, a bit serious about tradition, a bit more serious about how things should be done. And Jesus came to dispel all of that in many ways. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to be a light, not just in a physical darkness, but a light in a moral darkness, in a religious darkness, to bring kind of a bit of clarity, because there were a lot of people who misunderstood and misused the name of God, his Father, a lot in his day. And he wanted to bring things back to where they should be. And so Jesus appears on the scene, and he says, "I am." very provocative statement, very, very offensive to the religious people who immediately picked up on this. I remember getting off a plane, coming back from Nepal. I don't know why I'd done it. I said to this church that I preach on a Sunday night, but I didn't get back until kind of midday on the plane. And you know what it's like. You've been 18, 19 hours on a plane. You've not slept. You've got that dreaded, you know, when your head's against the window and your hair's all over the place and it's flat and you've got the aeroplane smell. And I just, why did I say that I would speak at this church? Nothing against the church. It's a fantastic church. But eventually I got there. I arrived a little bit late. I was bedraggled. I looked a bit unkempt. But you know what? I'd done it. I thought, that's commitment. And I remember there was an elder. It was a lady elder on the door waiting to welcome me. And I knew I was in trouble. As soon as I arrived there, she said, are you Steve? And I said, yeah. And she looked me up and down. And then she said those immortal words, you're wearing jeans. I mean, Dave would have loved this. I know what Dave would have said. You're wearing jeans. I went, yeah. No, she said. So I smiled. And being the fact that I'd been awake for 24 hours, I just kind of smiled and then just kind of walked in. And actually that night, I preached all right, actually. I surprised myself. All went well. But what was in my mind was, no sense of understanding, no sense of, you know, where I come from, no sense of the journey that I'd just been on, but just this sense of you're wearing, oh, how can you preach when you're, that's called religious. It's called, you know, when people are so, you know, panicky about what people look like. And Jesus really wasn't like that. But religious people often get offended, don't they? And they certainly did in Jesus's time. So this particular statement that we're going to be looking at, which is Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. It kind of stacks against all the others. I am the bread of life. I all of those great statements that Jesus talks about. But I am the light of the world. And the moment is in the middle of the Jewish festival of the Feast of Tabernacles. That's when he says this. It's a week-long feast. I mean, they knew how to have a party, didn't they? A week-long feast. And it's no coincidence that Jesus begins to speak about himself being the light of the world at this particular festival. It's choreographed. It really is kind of like not by chance, because Jesus doesn't do things by chance. He knows exactly where he is, and he knows exactly what he's doing. And it's in the midst of this festival that Jesus begins to speak about being the light of the world. And at this festival, it emphasizes, God's provision for the Jews in days gone by. And it fits perfectly about God's provision, about Jesus being the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. It fits perfectly into all of those statements. And it's also during this particular festival that Jesus reveals himself as being not a light, but the light. There's a big difference. And this has huge significance, because what in effect Jesus is saying is, I alone. No, I'm not just one of many lights. I alone am the light of the world. Well, that's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? And we find this statement in John 8 and verse 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Never. Won't happen. Why? Because you will have the light of life. The beacon. The one thing that will keep you off the rocks. The lighthouse. The one thing that will keep you going on the straight and the narrow. Even though the path is rough. Even though the path is dark. Even though the path is jagged. He says, listen, follow me and you will have the light of life. That will be the guy. He's the light. He's the way. He's the truth. He's all of these things. These are not nice names. These are indelible marks of who Jesus is and what he wants to be to each one of us. He wants to be your light. Derby City Church, he is your light. He wants to be your church, your light. If you're going through those challenging times right now, and it's not a glib statement, he is sometimes just like that faint match in the distance that you can barely see it sometimes, but he's there. He's the light. Now, the thing about this particular festival is that during this seven-day feast, there would be a lamp lighting ceremony that took place in the temple court. And this would build night by night. There would be more and more lights that would be set ablaze. And it would build to create a crescendo that on the last night of the Feast of Tabernacles, in the temple court, all of these lights would be lit. And you could see this scene as far away as from Galilee. So for miles and miles around, when all these lights were lit, there would be this kind of like silhouette effect that would light up the entire valley. Everyone would say, Feast of Tabernacles. And there would just be a light, and everyone would know, but they would just be so bright. And it was at this point Jesus said, I am the light of the world. At the same time, almost as all of these lamps being lit, and everyone would know what Jesus was saying, there would be no misunderstanding. It is in this festival of deliverance from darkness that Jesus now claims to be the divine light that saves God's people from the power of sin. He is, after all, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So this morning, there's the promise of salvation. Do you know what? That's good news. It's good news. We're saved. I don't mean we're saved. We're saved from death, from hell, from a purposeless life, from just living to try and fill our lives. We as Christians don't have to do that because he says we are saved. We have everything to look forward to. And if we don't, then you're missing the point. And you need probably a renewal in your heart and in your spirit. Because as the people who are saved, we have more reason to be full, even in a time of pandemic, even in a time of darkness, than anybody else. Why? Because he saves us utterly, completely, totally. He's the Lamb of God who takes away all the filth of your life. That's good news. Because if you knew the filth of my life, you'd be as happy as I was. Because you know what? I know what I was like when I was a young fella. I know what the things I've done. And I can tell you now, the fact that he is the Lamb of God who takes away that sin is liberating and frees us. And this is what this festival is all about. It's about God's provision in the midst of the darkness. It's deliverance from sin. It's the deliverance of bondage and every form of evil in the world. I remember once in Nepal, it's the one time that I was held captive. And it's the one time that I actually feared for my life. It's genuine. It's the only time in my life when I thought, I think I'm going to die. I think they're going to kill me. And, you know, the scenario is that I sat for hours in this village hut knowing that it was in the balance. It's not even an exaggeration. Paul Hudson would know about it. A few others will know about it. I just thought, I sat there for 10 hours. 10 hours not knowing what they were going to do. And would deliverance come? Very often I think back to that moment when salvation came. When suddenly someone said to me, go now. And I left that room and we got into a vehicle and we drove away. I cannot begin to tell you what it's like to be saved like that, but actually I can. It was an incredible moment. It's a life-changing moment because deliverance came. I thought my life was gone. I thought it was finished. And suddenly I was free. And do you know what? Nothing else mattered. I was flying in my heart and in my spirit. See, without Jesus Christ, the light of life, you know, we're not able to grasp the full immensity of who he is and what he's done. Without him, it doesn't make sense. The Bible simply says that, you know, when it comes to sin, it says that we've been blinded and sin keeps us in the dark, which is the inability to see. And yet Jesus brings light and life back not only to me in that situation, but he brings light and life back to you where you are. He brings light and life back. See, they go together, light and life. If you have the light, you have the life. Why? Because you know who you are. You can look in the mirror in the light and go, I know who I am. You can look at the light and show the light in front of you. You can say, I know where I'm going. He brings life to light because he is the light. Dr. Martin Luther King, he said that very famous statement, didn't he? Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only life can do that. You know, that's true. And in this day and age, when there's lots of pessimism and lots of darkness, let me tell you, only light can drive out darkness. That's why the Bible then goes on to say, not only is Jesus the light of the world, it says you, Derby City Church, you're the light and the beacon in your city. This is not a time to cover up and feel sorry for ourselves, even though we're going through difficulty, even though we're going through trials. And I know that we are, because my church is going through there too, that moment too. But the reality is, it's in these moments of darkness that the light shines the greatest. Surely, this is our moment. This is a time, especially when we're all thinking, gosh, I can't believe all of these restrictions that are coming upon us. I totally understand all of that. But it's not a time to feel sorry for ourselves. Yes, it's a time to look after one another. Yes, it's a time to care for one another. But let me just say, can I almost say prophetically, let your light shine in these days to come. Be more generous than you've ever been before. That out of the things that you don't have, elevate the one thing that you do have, Christ. When Jesus is lifted up, whatever the darkness, whatever the surroundings, he will always draw people to himself. Come what may. It's just the truth. But I think you already know this. So Jesus is in this situation now where he's telling the Pharisees, you've missed the point. You got all this wrong. You've got all that knowledge, but you've missed the point. And you might be sat there thinking, I've got knowledge and experience, but if you're not living in the light of life and you're not guided by that and you've got a lot of information in the head, I'm going to say you've missed the point. Because maturity, Christian maturity, is not measured in how long you've been a Christian. It really isn't. I've been a Christian for 30 years. Well, let me tell you, I've seen some 30-year-old kids, spiritual ones, who still get offended because we wear jeans, who still get offended because, well, they didn't quite do this. And then, do you know what? Not interested. You see, I've seen young men and women lead people to Christ who have a deeper understanding of faith than those being Christians for 30 years. Sometimes we need to stand back and just say, Lord, renew me, revive me, let me see afresh, let your light shine on me. I want to say that if you're living in the dark in terms of purpose, you don't know what you're here for. If you're living in the dark because you've got no meaning to your life, listen to the invitation of Jesus. Whoever follows me will never live in darkness. It's not, you might not. Whoever follows me, if you're a follower, you'll never live in darkness. But you will have the light of life. It's yours. That's such an inspiring statement, isn't it? You don't need to walk in darkness. And guess what? Do you know when you're not walking in darkness, light gathers people? If you know where you're going and who you are, why you are, and what you're here for, other people will be gathered. They'll be attracted to that. Why? Not because of your theology, not because how deep you are, not because you look so mature. It's because you know where you're going. People don't follow titles. You know that, don't you? Just because you've got a title, you doesn't mean to say that people follow you. People follow you because you know how to read the map. And if you know where you're going and you're walking, even if it's 1 inch at a time and you're going forward, people will follow. People need leadership at this moment. People need leadership in the schools of Derby, in the workplaces of Derby. People need to have hope. and they're looking to you, but they don't know that yet. But they're looking to you. They're looking to me. And we need an answer. And if you don't have the answer, the reality is Christ in us. He's the hope of glory. All we are is signposts to Christ. You might not have all the answers, but all we do is point to him. Why? Because he's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. That's what we want to do. So if you're living in the dark in terms of purpose and meaning, it's time to allow the light of Christ to shine maybe once again. Let your light shine even now in our lives, Lord. Dispel the darkness in my life right now, please, Lord. Liberate those who are enslaved to habits right now. We don't have to be enslaved to that. Open the eyes for people to see you for the very first time. And if you're not a Christian here today, let me tell you, he's got an absolutely awesome plan and purpose for your life. I'm not religious. Good, neither am I. I'm not religious either. I've come to this amazing relationship with Jesus. I'm so excited about it. I'm just as excited now as I was when I was 16 and I got saved. I love him. Oh, you sound a bit odd. I know. It is a bit odd, isn't it? But the reality is, I know who I am now. I know where I'm going. I know what's going to happen. Once I was high in a village in Nepal, and it was nighttime. And when the lights go out in a mountain village, you really don't see anything. When the lights go out, it is completely black. And on this particular night, the family where I was staying left a little candle lit on the outside of the house on top of the hill. And after inquiring why they lit this little candle and it just stood there flickering in the night, the old lady of the house simply said, "It will guide my son home." I love that. Utter oppressive darkness everywhere. But one little flickering light, she knew, would guide her son home. Maybe you're sat here today and you need to come home. You need to come home. Derby City Church, if that's where your home is, you need to come home. See, but Derby City Church in that sense is not the home. It's the gateway to the home, because in that sense, home is Jesus. You need to go home. You need to return. Because he's only got good for you. He's only got forgiveness for you. He's only got a plan and purpose for your life. Why would you not return to the place that can give you the very thing that you're looking for? He loves you. In biblical language, darkness is not only to do with night, it's also to do with the forces of evil. And they can seduce and they can lead away from walking in the right direction towards the light of life. That's what they're designed to do. That's what the enemy is always looking to do, to lead us astray. And Jesus claiming to be the light of the world was a big deal then. It wasn't just a statement. It was a declaration, not only to the Pharisees, but to the world, but also to the principalities and powers of darkness. What he's saying is, you can't hide. Because wherever I am, I will expose darkness. I will illuminate the pathway. That's why we need light in the moral places of depredation. We need light in our institutions. We need light in our schools. We need light everywhere. We need light everywhere. But many of us, we cover ourselves up. See, there's something more than the Festival of Lights and the Feast of Tabernacles happening here. We're talking about something a lot brighter than just a few lamps being lit at a festival. Jesus is saying, no, I'm not the light of Galilee. I'm not just the light of Jerusalem. I'm the light of the world. You see, we're talking about something that is beyond the light of the moon and the sun. In fact, we're going beyond the stars to the universe itself. We need to really understand the enormity of who Jesus is saying he is. He's the light. He is the one true light of all time. You see, when we go back to Genesis chapter 1, it's really quite amazing because we have that creation kind of scenario. And we read these words, "Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, 'Let there be light.'" And there was light. Think about that for a moment. The earth was formless. It was empty. And it was covered utterly in darkness. But look at what happens when the light of the world enters that scene of perpetual darkness. See, Jesus is claiming, and it's a really big claim in his statement, "I alone take what is formless and I form it. I alone put darkness in its place. I alone fill the void with light and life." This is not just nice things that will encourage you. This breaks everything. This changes everything. He alone brings form. He alone fills the void. He alone dispels darkness. Let me just say a few things about that before I conclude. Void. Void. Let me say something about the word void. I'm going to get a bit theological now. The Westminster Catechism of 1647. And I'm sure you didn't realize you were going to be going there this morning. But in 1647, it asks the question, a very searching question, the Catechism. It says, what is the chief end of man? Or put another way, what are we here for? What's our purpose? What's your purpose? It's a question that I think has been asked down through the generations and maybe even been asked today. Maybe even you're asking it in the congregation right now or wherever you're watching right now. The answer, according to the Westminster Catechism, is this: man's chief aim is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's man's chief aim. See, outside of Jesus Christ in a relationship with him, not knowing about him, but actually knowing Christ, we are way outside our purpose and what we were designed to be. You see, outside of Christ, we'll never find life. Outside of Christ, we'll never find light. Outside of Christ, we'll never fill the void. Outside of Christ, we remain in perpetual darkness when it comes to meaning and destiny and who we are. Outside of him, we'll never find that. Because man's chief aim, our purpose, is to be known by God, to walk in relationship with God. Therefore, if we are not, we are incomplete. We're living in the void, not knowing where we came from, why we are, where we're going. See, life in Christ is the death of boredom. And if you're bored as being a Christian, you've missed the point somewhere, you went off track, because I've never been bored. Christian life is as boring as you make it. It's if you've contented yourself with the dull ease and comfort, and you've never done anything for the first time for a long time, or suddenly you've calmed down, or you've become very mature in your faith, but you don't do anything anymore because you leave that for other people, then I suggest you need to step into the light, because the reality is you're not living the life that you were meant to lead. I know that's provocative, but that's good, because the word of God is not nice. It's there to agitate us. It's there to stir us. And if it doesn't, what's the point? Life in Christ is the death of boredom. It's the death. Because we have purpose, destiny. We can see things afresh. So if you're bored as a Christian, wake up. I remember as a 16-year-old, I do, I remember it vividly, skipping down, you know, to the central bus station in Sheffield City Centre. I'd just become a Christian. And on that day, everything changed. But here's the thing. I've done the same thing as a 50-year-old. I've skipped around my church, just kind of like shouting, woohooing. And you're going, why would you do that? Because I still feel like a kid. I still can't believe that God loved me. I still can't believe the fact that he loves me enough to give me a plan and purpose that is just stunning. He fills the void. He's always filled the void. And my prayer is that he will always continue to fill the void. That's void. What about formless? Let me just say something about being formed. Matthew 4 verse 19 says, follow me, that I will make you. I love that. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You can't help but think that it's like God getting his hand on us and saying, let me get my hand on you and make you into what I want you to be. Because here's the truth. God can do a lot better job with your life than you can. Whatever your plans and purposes are for your life, great. But let me tell you, they're dwarfed in comparison to what God can do. He says, I want to make you. I will make you. I will form you. Let the master potter this morning in Jeremiah 18, let the master potter get his hands on you. Put yourself on the potter's wheel. Now that the light has come, let it shine upon you. But now stand on the potter's wheel and let him get his hands on you once again to mold you, to shape you, to creatively produce something in you that you could never imagine that you could ever be, because that's what God does. I'm from a council estate in Sheffield. I'm as thick as two short planks. But I marvel at what God's making. I'm stunned that when you just let go and say, okay, God, if you say so, if you're willing, you can do something with my life. And he says, oh, I'm willing. I'm willing. So we've got void and formless. If that's you, then God wants to do some work. But then we've got darkness. Coming to a conclusion. Let me just say about darkness. It's the chief aim and the purpose of our lives to glorify God. To glorify God. To enjoy him forever. This is not just meant to be austere and serious. We're meant to have fun with God, to enjoy him. He's our Father. He's the lover of our souls. He's our friend. He walks with us in the cool of the day. Is that your experience? Can be. You see, you can't follow the light and you can't follow him sitting down. And if you're in the darkness, you can't follow anyway. You can't go anywhere in the darkness. You're fumbling. So when that light comes, and I pray that it comes today, that he is the light of the world. He's your Feast of Tabernacles, because we want to feast on him today. You can't follow Jesus sitting down. You can't follow Jesus in mind and thought alone. You have to get up. You have to do what he's asked you to do. If you love me, would you do what I've asked you to do? You see, you're either a follower or you're not. And see, being a follower means that you are a practitioner. And if you're not practicing fasting and praying, and if you're not practicing witnessing and being a light into your community and leading others to Christ, are you making me feel bad? No, I'm just saying you're missing out. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. I'm just trying to say that's where it's at. Ah. You're either a follower or you're not. Because if you're not, you're on the way down. You're backsliding. And we can't do that. You say, Steve, you've been a bit harsh. It's a pandemic. We've gone through a tough time. You know, the entire New Testament was written to a church that was in persecution, disease, that were people being killed for their faith, and they were going through all kinds of difficulty and challenge. 3/4 of the New Testament is written to people saying, listen, whatever happens, live a life worthy. Even persevere, keep pressing on, keep moving on. Why these words? Because there were obstacles always before them. There will always be obstacles before you. There will always be a reason why you cannot, why it's difficult, why it's challenging. I know that. But Jesus told us in advance, you're going to have trouble. But here's the key. I've overcome. Follow me, and I'll make you. I'm the light. Follow the light. And if you're a follower, then at some point you're going to mess up and you're going to fail. But I would sooner mess up and fail by trying something rather than doing nothing. See, being a follower, I know is not easy. I know it's not easy. There are many times in my life, even as a minister, that I've been ashamed of my attitude, ashamed of my internal responses to people. I mean, utterly ashamed. But I thank God with these final words. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, thank you, Lord, he can be depended on to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrongdoing. He cleanses us. And it is perfectly proper for God to do this because Christ died to wash away our sins. I mean, isn't that liberating? Isn't that water to the souls? Honesty is the antidote of darkness. Honesty. I'm not where I should be. I've been walking in the dark for too long. I've been disobedient. I know it. I've just not got around to doing anything about it. See, darkness includes those things that we seek to cover up in our lives, perversions, secret practices, improper thoughts and attitudes. His light exposes the darkness, not to condemn you, but that's what he came to take from us. That's not your life. That's not what he came to give you. He wants to give you a divine exchange. He wants to take all the rubbish in our lives and he wants to give you all the good stuff. What's not to want? Why would we not want that? His light always exposes those things, not to condemn, but to begin the pathway to freedom and liberty. Start the pathway today. Let's do that today. And as a church, Derby City Church, the future is bright. It's good. Because he's the Lord of the church. He's the King of the universe. And he says, I know what I've got planned for you. And he's got some good things. But it starts sometimes individually with a change of direction, a change of heart, and an unwillingness to simply say, today's the day. He alone takes what is formless and forms it. He alone puts darkness in its place. He alone fills the void. He is the light of life. Let me just say in conclusion, I am the light in your world. If you follow me, there is no need to walk in fear or darkness. Rather, the light I give to you will give you meaning and purpose that fills the void and the darkness. Derby City Church, it's a new season. It's a new day. Absolutely, we look back and we give thanks to God for all that he's done. He has been faithful to you. He's given you some great leaders. But now we look ahead. Honestly, it's not even me trying to be nice. The future's bright. And it's bright because he's the light of the world. And he goes ahead of you and he says, all I want you to do is follow me as a church, but also as individuals. Let's start that journey today afresh. Thank you. I'm looking on my monitor. That's 38 minutes. That's far too long. But I only speak once every 10 years to Derby City Church. So I thought you got your money's worth, not that you paid any money. So God bless you. Keep pressing on. And thank you for the privilege of being able to chat and talk with you and bring something I hope that will be of help to you today. Be blessed. God bless.